So we'll begin Mirtz Hashem today with the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Daled Omer Aleph, and the hope is that we can make a conclusion on Bamei Madlikin tomorrow, which is Erev Chag. And of course, there are two Blot Gemara here of Agadah that I hope you'll be able to fill in on your own. Shlosha Dvarim Tzorech Adam Lomar Besoch Beso Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha. There are three things that a person should say. Now, we have to emphasize that the precise translation of Im Chashecha means before it gets dark. And we'll make another point here, that these Shlosha Dvarim are not all three identical. Two of them are questions, and the third is a statement. So let's go through the two questions and then the statement, or if you call it a command. Isartem, Eravtem, those are two questions, and then Beloshen Tzivui, Hadliku Asaner, light the candle. So the first question is, were you mafrish Trumos Umasros? And you have to give the person time to fulfill this mitzvah before Shabbos, before it gets dark. You don't need a long time, but you need some period of time to do that. Now, let's make a few points over here. Point number one is that Hafrasha, to separate Trumas and Maestros, is prohibited on Shabbos. And therefore it's critical that it be done before Shabbos, before it gets dark. Now you might ask me, and that would be a very valid question, why should Hafrashas Trumas and Maestros be prohibited on Shabbos? It doesn't fit into any of the 39 categories of Malacha. But this is an Iser Derabbanan. And the reason why the Rabbanan prohibited it is twofold. Firstly, because it involves kinyonim. What you do is you transfer ownership over the fruits, over the grains, to the Kohen, in the case of Truma, to the Levi, in the case of Maaser. Again, you haven't specified a particular Kohen yet, or a particular Levi, but you were maknit to what's called Shevet Kohuna or Shevet Leviya. Later on, you'll decide which Kohen specifically you want to give it to. And that's Kinyan. Now, Kinyan was prohibited rabbinically on Shabbos because, at the Gemara at the end of Beitzah says, because Shem Yechtov Shtar, because you might want to write it down and record it. So all Kinyanim are prohibited on Shabbos. The second reason why Hafrashas Trumas and Maestros was prohibited on Shabbos, again, rabbinically, is because of one of the 39 Malachas, which is called, in the Gemara's language in Aramaic, it's called Tikkun Mona, which means fixing up a utensil. And in the language of the Mishnah, it is called Makim Patish, to complete something, to fix something up. So that's prohibited on Shabbos. And here you're fixing up the Tevel, which you're not allowed to eat until after Hafrashas Truma. So ask the person who's in charge of preparing the Shabbos meals whether or not the Hafrasha was implemented so that we'll have the right Shabbos meal. We'll have food that's no longer Tevel, Chas V'Shalom, for the Shabbos meal. And that's called Isartem. You really don't have any way of knowing whether or not he was Mafris Trumas or Maestris. That you can't see with your eye. So therefore you ask him the question to make sure that he has still time before Shabbos, before nightfall, to take care of this. And then you ask him a Ravtem. Now, a Ravtem, which is the conjugated verb of the noun Eruv, that fits into two categories. There are two categories of Eruv that we're dealing with. One is called Eruv Tchumin, and the other Eruv Chatzeros. Eruv Tchumin means that the Torah prohibits us from leaving the outskirts of the city on Shabbos, walking 2,000 Amma. However, the Rabbanon have a concept called being Konesh Visa, which means you, so to speak, acquire an area outside of the bounds of the city. And that means you set up Mazon Shtei Sudos, you set up food, so you go out before Shabbos, and you set up this Eruv, and then you Konesh Visa, which means that that's where you received, so to speak, the Shabbos, and now you could walk another 2,000 Amma from that point, which would be a total of 4,000 Amma outside of the city limits. That's called an Eruv Tchumen. Then there's something called an Eruv Chatzeros, which means if you have many batim, many houses that spill into a common courtyard, that courtyard is surrounded by at least three mechitzos, if not four mechitzos, so it's a reshus ha-yochid, but the Rabbanon considered it like a reshus ha-rabim. And the idea of an Erev Chatzeros is that all the household owners in that particular courtyard, that share that courtyard, would join together with one meal, and that meal, that mazon, is considered as if they all have a shutvus. They're all partners in, so to speak, the chatzah. The chatzah is now owned by all of them as one entity, and it no longer looks like a public area. It's private and allocated to these household owners. And we should know here that the halach of Erev Tchumen is more chamor, is more severe than the halach of Erev Chatzeros, because the Gemara derives Erev Tchumen from what we call an asmachta, from psukim that seem to be a source. And these are the first two questions you have to ask your household. Again, don't ask them too early because they may forget about it. Don't ask them too late because you have to give them ample time to implement the maisros, hafrosh, and the setting up of the Erev, especially in the case of Erev Tchumen. You know, need a lot more time to organize the Erev Tchumen. And then, after you ask these two questions, now you look around the house, and there's no Ner Shabbos. Hedliku es haner. Here you know for sure that they haven't yet implemented that mitzvah, which is Shalom Bayis, and therefore you notify them and instruct them to light the Ner. Now the Mishnah discusses what's called Bein HaShmoshos, which is going to be our main topic for today, Mirtz Hashem. And that's sometime after sunset, but before it got dark. And that in the language of the Mishnah is called Sofek Hashecha, Sofek Eino Hashecha. We don't know if it's dark yet or not. Is then Ein Ma'asrim, on the one hand, it's once we enter into this doubt period, we have to be concerned that maybe it's already Shabbos, we're not going to allow you to be Mafrish. But here's where the Mishnah is going to make a distinction between two types of maaser. The first type is called es havadai. The second type, which we'll see later in the Mishnah, is called dmai, which is suffek. So in the case of vadai, this is the real bona fide mitzvah of hafrosh. I know that I have tevel, there's no question about it, and no one can claim that Trumas and Maisus were removed from this, from these peros, and that's prohibited once we get into the period of Bein HaShmoshos, of this Sufik Yom, Sufik Laila. Tmai, which we'll get to in just a second, but as a preview, is fruits that you bought. When I say fruits, I mean grains, fruits that you bought from an Amoret, someone you have no idea if he was careful about taking off Trumas and Maisrus. The Torah relies on Rove, on the majority. Most people would take off Trumas and Maisrus. The Rabbanon, nevertheless, were worried about the Miut, the minority of amayoretz, of ignorant people who did not take off chumas and maestros, and the rabbanim therefore were machmir, and they required that we take off chumas and maestros just in case. But again, that's not on the same level as first class certain tevel, which is vadai chumas and maestros. Then the Mishnah says, once it's in that suffix period, that doubt period, ein matbilin es hakelim. So, for example, let's say you own a utensil, and a sheretz falls on a utensil, it contracted tumah. We have another concept of tefilas kelim. I've gotten a number of questions about this in the last couple of days, which means that if you purchase a utensil from a non-Jew, or if a non-Jew manufactured a utensil, and then you get ownership over this utensil, then you have to take it to the mikveh, to a mikveh 40 saw, to be tovel it in a mikveh. And here again, the Rabbanan prohibited it on Shabbos. The reason for that is, once again, it looks like tikkun mana, it looks like you're fixing up something. The utensil was halachically, legally prohibited, and now you changed its status through tefillah, and you permit use of this utensil. So you've really fixed it up in that sense. The Rabbanan don't allow you to do that, even during the Bein HaShemashos, the Suffolk period of time. And of course, Ein Madlikin es HaNeros. It's too late now, during this doubt period, to light the candles, because that would be a violation of a Molocha D'Oraisa. Avol Ma'asrin es HaDmai. However, we will allow Hafrashas Maser of Dmai, because Dmai, as I said before, is not a full-fledged Hafrasha, it's only a Chumra Derabbanan. For example, on Erev Pesach, the Mishnah says that if you have Dmai and you weren't able to be Mafresh it, and you made Matzah out of this Dmai, you're allowed to use that Matzah for the Mitzvah of Pesach, whereas, of course, Tevel Vadai would certainly be prohibited, excluded from Matzah. So there are various kulos and leniencies in the case of Dmai, one of which is that they allowed you to be mafrish Dmai during Bein HaShemashos on Friday evening. And now the Mishnah surprises us with what I call, pardon the American English here, a curveball, Uma Arvin. And you're allowed to set up an Erev during Bein HaShemashos. Now, that contradicts the beginning of the Mishnah, which says that Im Chashech, which means before it gets dark, you have to make sure there's time for setting up an Erev. So the Gemara is going to differentiate between those two categories of Erevin that I indicated before. We're going to be more strict with regard to an Erev Tchumin, because that's based on the Torah, and we're not going to allow that during a Suffolk of Bein HaShemashos. But on the other hand, in the case of an Erev Chatzeros, which is purely Derabbanan, and it has no basis in the Torah, the Rabbanan would make it during Bein HaShemashos to set up such an Erev. And finally, Vitomnin Es HaChamin. So there's a rabbinic prohibition called Hatmana, which means that, let's take Shabbos for example. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to insulate a hot tafshil, a pot, even in insulation, which is what's called shomer sehevel, it means it only preserves the heat. That's prohibited on Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, we allow you to insulate your pot of food in a material which retains the same heat. But there are materials that actually increase the heat, and the physics of that is the subject of the next chapter, two chapters afterwards, that's the fourth chapter, Perek Vamet Tomnin. And those materials, which are Mosif Hevel, that means they add heat, that was prohibited even on Erev Shabbos. And that prohibition on Erev Shabbos will apply up until nightfall. The prohibition will begin with nightfall. But during this Bein HaShemashos period, then they allowed you to do hatmana, to insulate the food, because the Isra Hatmana, as we said before, is only Durabonin, it's only rabbinic in nature. The rabbis were mekil, they were lenient, and they allowed you to do this during Bein HaShemoshes, during that Suffolk period when you don't know if it's night or if it's day. The Gemara asks me, Nani Mili, where do we see somewhere, if we could find an allusion in Tanakh, to indicate that a person is in charge of his tent, so to speak, his household, and he has to make sure that they prepare themselves properly for Shabbos. Omer Kro, Pasuk in Iyov, V'yadata ki sholem o'alecha. Anything that has to do with peace, you have to make sure that your oel, your house is cared for. Upakadcha means you should remind. Nevecha means all the people in your household. Velo sechta, so that they don't sin. So this imposes responsibility on the head of household, especially on Friday, to make sure that everything is prepared properly for Shabbos. There won't be any sin. There won't be any violation of the Shabbos. Omer Rabba Bar Avhuna, Afal Gavdi Omer Rabbanon, Shlosha Dvarim Tzarech Adam Lomar. The language of the Mishnah seems to put it in very harsh terms. You know, a person has to, you know, get down on his family, make sure that they are very careful about it. He should warn them and pick up his right forefinger. Nevertheless, says Rabba, Tzarech Lememru B'nichusa, he has to say it calmly, gently, Ki Hecha D'Lekablinu Minei, so that they don't rebel against him. Sometimes you resent someone who's very harsh with you, so here, be very soft. And the Gemara actually tells us a story about Ravashi. I never had heard the statement of Rabba, but nevertheless, kiyamtia, kiyamti misvara. I intuitively felt that that's the right way. If you want to accomplish a goal, sometimes you have to be very careful not to be too stern, but rather to be soft about it, and that's going to encourage them to accept your words. Now we mentioned the seeming contradiction in the Mishnah with regard to setting up an Erev. Hagufa Kasha, isn't there a contradiction in the Mishnah itself? Amrit, in the Reish of the Mishnah, it says, Shlosh Dvarim Tzarech Lomar, Adam Lomar V'Tov Beso, Erev Shabbos Imcha Sheicha. These are the things that a person has to say before it gets dark, which means, Imcha Sheicha in, it makes sense to give them enough time to set up this Erev before it gets dark. But Safek HaShecha, if it's already dark, and we don't know, Safek Enoch, we don't know what the status is, has Shabbos entered or not, lo, then it's already too late for them to implement these tasks. V'hadar Tani, and yet later in the Mishnah it says, Safek HaShecha, Safek Enoch Shecha Ma'arev, which means that you are allowed to set up your Erev even during this questionable period, this twilight zone period where we don't know if it's already Shabbos, if it's dark, we don't know, maybe it's still light, it's still Friday. So what's the deal here? Are we allowed to set up an Erev during Bein HaShemoshos, or is it too late to set up an Erev? On the one hand it says, Im HaShecha, which means before it begins to get dark. On the other hand it says, Safek HaShecha, you're allowed to set up your Erev. So in order to answer this question, the Gemara gives us what's called a mnemonic device, a siman. All right, we're going to skip the siman for now. It's not relevant for us. Om Rabbi Abba, Om Rabbi Chia Baravashi, Lo Kasha, Kan Be'erv Tchumin, Kan Be'erv Chatzeros. The halacha is much more careful about Erev Tchumin. It's considered almost a quasi doraisa. It's somewhere in the middle between a mitzvah doraisa and a mitzvah derabbanon. And in that sense, it's upgraded in status. We're more strict about it. And we're not going to allow you to set up an Erev Tchumen during this questionable period when it might be Shabbos already. Safek HaShecha, Safek Ein HaShecha. Therefore, make sure to notify the people and figure out whether they set up the Erev Tchumen. Im HaShecha means before it got dark. But with regard to Erev Chatzeros, which is a pure Drabbanon, because as we said before, on a Doraisa level, if you have a common courtyard that's surrounded by mechitzos, by walls on all sides, then the Torah says you're allowed to take something out of your house and carry it into that private area. It's a Rishus HaYachid. The Rabbanan considered it like a Rishus HaRabim, and they require an Erev, which is called Erev Chatzeros, but they were Mekil, they were lenient about that injunction with regard to the Twilight Zone period of Safek HaShecha, Safek Ein HaShecha. The Omar Rava, Rava teaches us something that's related to what we saw before. Amru lo shnayim. Now, what happens is here, one shliach, as a messenger or as a representative, was appointed by two different people. And what did they say? Tzei v'orev olenu. Go ahead and set up an eruv on our behalf. And again, we're talking now about an Eruv Tchumen, which would allow us to go beyond the 2,000 Amma limit outside the city, another 2,000 Amma, and two people, we'll call them Reuven and Shimon, appointed Levi as a Shliach to set up the Eruv. There was one Eruv that being set up on behalf of Reuven, another on behalf of Shimon. Now, what happened is that Levi had, he was very pressured for time, and he wanted to fulfill his proxy, his mission, but there was a little bit of a discrepancy in time between the Eruv that he was successful in setting up for Reuven and the Eruv that he set up for Shimon. So it was a sequence in which there was a delay between one Erev that he set up for one person and the other for the other. Li'echad, on behalf of, let's say, Reuven, this Levi, the Shliach, was successful, Erev Olav Mibodyon. He was able to set up the Erev before Shabbos. And therefore, since it's still light out, that Erev is perfect. It's valid because he was Konesh Visa on behalf of Reuven at that point, 2,000 Amma outside the city. But Li'echad, as far as Shimon's Erev is concerned, Erev Olav Bein HaShmoshos. It was just 2 minutes later when he set up the Erev on behalf of Shimon. And it was already in that twilight period that Bein HaShmoshos, Sofek Yom, Sofek Laila. Says Rava, what's the din in this case? Zeshe Erev Olav Mibod Yom. Oh, not, I'm sorry, not what's the din. I made a mistake here. We'll get to the din in a minute. But we're up to a further description of the scenario. So we're still telling the story here of this Levi, the Shliach, who's putting up an Erev on behalf of Reuven and on behalf of Shimon. Zeshe Erev Olav Mibod Yom, as far as the Erev on behalf of Reuven, which was set up before nightfall, in other words, when it was still definitely day, what happened? Again, we're describing the scenario. Nechal Eruvo Bein HaShmoshos. Somebody came along, or an animal came along, whatever it was, and consumed the food during the Bein HaShmoshos period. Now, the Erev has to be intact on Shabbos. Now we're in a doubt, because we're in the Bein HaShmoshos period. If we would consider Bein HaShmoshos to be Yom, it's still Friday, then it's not a good deal, because then the food was eaten up while it was still Friday. If, on the other hand, Bein HaShmoshos is Lila, then the food was eaten up after Shabbos had already begun, and that would be fine. So we're really in a suffix. Vizeh, now we're up to Shimon's Eruv, She'eruv Olav Bein HaShmoshos, the Eruv itself was set up during this twilight zone, Nechal Eruvo Mishach HaShecha. His Eruv was consumed after nightfall. It was definitely nightfall. And the Gemara tells us the name of Rava, now we're up to the din itself, Shneim Kona Eruv, which means that both of these Eruvin are considered valid. So the Gemara says, Mimonavshach. That doesn't make any sense. Now, by way of introduction, let's just point out that Bein HaShemashos is an absolute suffix that applies every Bein HaShemashos, and it doesn't change from one person to another. So the Gemara says the following, E Bein HaShemashos Yimama Hu. We don't know what the status of Bein HaShemashos is. Let's argue theoretically that it's considered dead. Then, as far as Reuven is concerned, we're in deep trouble. Why? Because since the Erev was eaten, the Erev of Reuven was already consumed during that period of time of Bein HaShemashos, and we're considering Bein HaShemashos to be daytime, so there was no Erev at night. So by the time he entered into Shabbos with nightfall, the Erev was gone. It cannot be Kona Shvisa of him unless it exists at least for one moment into Shabbos. On the other hand, this is good news for Shimon. Why? Because Shimon's Eruv was set up during Bein HaShemashos period. And if Bein HaShemashos is considered daylight, then fine. Before Shabbos, he had an Eruv. When was it consumed? After nightfall, when it was Vaday Laila. So the Gemara says, Basra Likne. Likne means you could be Kona Shvisa, would take effect, it's a valid Eruv as far as Shimon is concerned. But Kama Lo Likne. But Reuven's Eruv is invalid. Now let's go the other way around. V'i, if we take the other side in the Suffolk and say Bein HaShemashos Laila Hu, Bein HaShemashos is already considered nighttime. So this is great news for Reuven, because Reuven's Erev was set up before Bein HaShemashos, and it was consumed after Bein HaShemashos began, which means it was already in existence at that critical moment in the transition to Shabbos. It's therefore Kama Likni. We understand very well that Reuven's Erev would be perfectly valid if you assume that Bein HaShemashos is Laila. But Basra Lo Likni. Now we have a real serious problem, because there was no Erev that was set up before Shabbos on behalf of Shimon. Because as far as Shimon is concerned, since Levi set up that Erev after the beginning of Bein HaShemashos, if we're assuming that Bein HaShemashos is Laila, it's already Shabbos, and it's too late to be Kona Shvisa. So basically, Rava's ruling involves a logical contradiction. It's mutually exclusive, as we'd say. And the Gemara answer is Bein HaShemashos Sveika Hu. The status of Bein HaShemashos is that of a Safek. Usveika Derabana Lekula. And we can be lenient in a Safek Derabana. And here, my friends, we have to make a distinction between a Safek Doraisa and a Safek Derabana. So that in a Safek Derabana, what we're going to say is that even if you apply the principle of Safek Derabana Lekula in a way that there's an absolute logical contradiction, we can still apply the principle of Safek Derabana Lekula. In a Doraisa, we couldn't do so. And that's the sugya in Masechta Psachim. It's a famous sugya called Shnei Shvilin. And Reuven and Shimon both went down two different pathways. We knew that there was a kever, there was a dead body that was buried in one of these two pathways. And Reuven and Shimon come in front of the Rav to ask whether or not they're Tomei. And Tomei here is a Tomei Doraisa, because one of the two definitely came in contact with the kever, with the dead body. So in such a case, they're both Tomei. Why? Because if we were to say, well, let's be Matayer each one of them, then we're involved in a self-contradiction. But the Gemara says that's only as far as the Doraisa is concerned, like Tumah. But as far as Erev is concerned, which is only a rabbinic institution, here we can be Mekil and apply Safek Derabanan Lekula even in a self-contradictory way, in which both Reuven and Shimon have a valid Erev, even though we know one of them is not a valid Erev. Again, which one is the invalid Erev, we don't know. But we can be Mekil B'Safek, both on behalf of Reuven, and he was Kona Shvisa, he has an Erev of Tchumen, and on behalf of Shimon as well. So both Reuven and Shimon can rely on their Erev respectively, even though the Psak, the ruling, has within it a contradiction. And that's the power and the application of Safek Derabanan Lekula. V'yomar Rava. Now we go to another statement of Rava, and here we're talking about the Mishnah of Tomnin. And we said that on Erev Shabbos, we don't allow you to insulate your pot of food in a Dover HaMosif Hevel, in a material that adds heat. If the heat increases, that you're not allowed to do on Erev Shabbos. Although, they allow you to do this during Bein HaShmoshos. Mipnei Ma Omru, Rava asks a very fundamental question. Why did the Rabbanon institute this prohibition? And they said, Ein Tomnin B'Dover Shein HaMosif Hevel Mishachashecha. So first he talks about the case where he insulates his pot of food with material that will increase the heat, and that's prohibited. I'm sorry. First, we're going to talk about Shabbos itself. Let me just go sequentially. On Shabbos, there's an absolute prohibition of insulating his food, even in a Dovah She'ein HaMosif Hevel, even something that only preserves the heat, but doesn't intensify the heat. That's a Dovah She'ein HaMosif Hevel. The word Hevel means heat. Mishach HaShecha. Once it's dark out. So once it's dark out, we know it's Shabbos. And then there's an Isra Atmana on Shabbos. You're not allowed to insulate your food on Shabbos, even if it's something that'll only preserve the heat. What's the reason for this? What motivated the Rabbanon to establish this injunction? And Rava answers, Gzeira Shema Yartiach. We're afraid that when he's so involved in heating up his food, he may actually violate Bishul Doraisa, and he might actually cook his food. Maybe instead of just insulating it, he'll go one step further and he'll put it on a fire and he'll cook it. Omalei Abaye. So Abaye turns to Rav and he says, Ihochi, if you're right, Benashmoshes Nami Nixar. The Mishnah says that the Isur, the prohibition of Hatmana, only applies when it's Vaday Laila. But if it's that twilight zone of Friday afternoon, Bein HaShmoshos, we're allowed to do Atmana. Well, if you're dealing with a Chashash, you're really so nervous about the possibility that it'll violate the Isur Bishul, then on Bein HaShmoshos, which is a Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila, then you're involved in a possibility of violating a Malacha of Bishul Doraisa. How can you allow that during Bein HaShmoshos? Amalei, so Rava tells Abaye why the Rabbanon did not go that far with this gzera so as to prohibit it even during Bein HaShmoshos, and the answer is because Stam Kederos Roschos Hed, that when you're putting up something on Erev Shabbos, then you're doing so because it's already heated up. You know, you cooked up a pot of food, you want to maintain its heat, so you want to insulate it. At this point, we don't have to be so concerned that he might actually put it on the fire during this Bein HaShmoshos period in order to heat it up. It's already hot. V'yomar Rava, and here we'll take a look at Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. Mipnei Ma Amru, why did the Rabbanan decree that Ein Tomnim B'Dover HaMosif Hevel Afilu Mibod Yom? That if you have something that will increase the heat, then even on Friday, we're not going to allow you to insulate your pot with something that increases the heat. And even though in general we're much more lenient on Erev Shabbos than we are on Shabbos, but nevertheless, if it's Mosif Hevel, if it adds heat, then we don't allow it even on Erev Shabbos. And the answer is Gzeira Shemiyatmin Beremetz Sheyeshla Yeshba Gacheles. There's something very similar in its external trappings and the way it looks to Hatmana. And that is, just like in Atmana, you take a pot and you surround it with some sort of material that either heats the pot, increases the heat, that's the case we're dealing with now, Dover HaMosif Hevel, or at least preserves it. What you're doing is you're surrounding your pot. And that's very similar to what's called Shema Yatmin Beremetz, which means he might submerge his pot into hot coals or hot ashes. And once there's a gachelis there are coals there, that's a problem. Amalei Abai V'yatmin. What do I care about if he were to submerge his pot into this hot ashes? And the answer is, Gzeira Shema Yechata B'gecholim. Once he's dealing with coals and ashes, then we're always afraid of chitui, We're always afraid that he might stir up the coals in order to speed up the process of Bishul. He gets very nervous that maybe his food is not going to be hot enough, it won't be cooked enough, so he starts tampering with the coals, and that's something that we have to avoid like anything, because that's, as we discussed throughout this perek, if you tamper with light, then by increasing the flame, you will violate the malach of havara, of burning. And that's the gzeirah shemiyachata gecholim that applies to the iser derabbanan of hatmana, because hatmana is similar to yatmin beremetz, and in case of yatmin beremetz, we always assume it's like bishul, he might come and be machata begecholim. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. This begins the sugya of Bein HaShmoshos. Bein HaShmoshos has a triple status. Number one, Sofik Minayom. We don't know if it belongs to day, Umin Alaylo, it belongs to night. So this period of time is called a Sofik. Then we have another possibility, Sofik Kulo Minayom. It's possible that this entire period of time is Yom, Sofek Kulo Min HaLaila. It might be completely dark. So basically, the three categories are the following. It's either all day, all night, or it's a combination thereof. It's Min HaYom U Min HaLaila. And my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik used to always say that Min HaYom U Min HaLaila means that halachically, this period of time is both day and both night, and it's a different kind of a suffix than what we call a suffix e-idea. This is not a question that we don't know what the law is. This is built into the halach itself. This is a suffix because this period of time is both yom and laila. The previous day extends all the way till nightfall, complete nightfall. But on the other hand, the new day, which is engendered by night, begins when the sun sets. So what do we do in this triple-fold status of Bein HaShmoshos? So the Braisa tells us, Matilin oso l'chomer shnei ayom. We have to impose l'chumra and take the stringency of both days. We have to consider it as yesterday, meaning it's still day, and we have to consider it as the next day, and it's Laila. And in any suffix, we have to go l'chumra, and this is relevant to Doraisa. Now the question the Braisa addresses is V'ezu Bein HaShmoshos. What exactly is Bein HaShmoshos? And here the Braisa presents three different shitos in the Tanoim. The first shita is that of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishetishka Achama, when the sun is completely set on the western horizon, so it means the sun is dipped below the horizon, but yet the sky is still red because it's what we call reflected light. Kolzman shepnei ha-mizrach ma'adimim, and the light that reflects itself on the western side has such an intensity that it even impacts on the eastern side. And you could see redness in the sky even on the eastern side. So the sun is set, but there's still redness in the sky. And it works like this. Quite tribute. There's the lower sky and the upper sky. Again, we'd have to be astronomers in order to really scientifically analyze this. But just in a general sense, hichsif ha-tachton, the lower sky always gets dark earlier. And the reflected light still projects upward towards the upper sky. V'lo hichsif ha'elyon. There was no darkening of the upper skies. That, says Rabbi Yehuda, is Bein HaShmoshos. That's the period of time which is questionable, because on the one hand, the lower skies have already darkened. On the other hand, the upper skies are still red. But once we get to the period of time of Hichsif HaElyon, the Hishvel HaTachton, the upper skies became dark as the lower skies. El Laila. That's definitely Laila, Div Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the way we have it here in the Braisa, Bein HaShmoshos begins once the sun is set. there's redness in the sky. When the redness is gone in the lower sky, but there's still redness in the upper sky, that's called Bein HaShemashos. Once it gets dark in both the lower sky and the upper sky, then it's Vaday Laila. It's definitely Laila. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehud. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, Rabbi Nechemiah says that we can define Bein HaShemashos on the clock. In other words, how many minutes would it take from sunset until it becomes Vaday Laila? Kedei She'ahalech Adam, the amount of time it would take for a person to walk, Mishetishke Hachama, from sunset, Chatzi Meal, half of a meal. Now, a meal is generally assumed to be, which is the time it takes to walk 2,000 amos, but Chatzi Meal means the time it would take to walk 1,000 amos, a half a meal. So that's assumed to be half of 18 minutes. So a meal is the amount of time that it would take to walk 2,000 amos. That's assumed to be 18 minutes. Again, there are other shitos as well, but we're going to go right now with that shita. 18 minutes. So chatzi meal would be 18 over 2, and that would be 9 minutes. So according to Rabbi Nechemiah, from sunset, we count 9 minutes time, and that's a 9-minute period of Safek, of Bein HaShemashos, until after the 9 minutes passed, which is Kedei Shodom Yehalech Chatzi Mil, then it's Vaday Laila. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bein HaShemashos Keheref Ayin, it's a much shorter period of time. He compares it to the blink of an eye. It's about like a minute or two. Zeh Nichnas V'zeh Yotzeh, day ends and night begins, V'yef Shalamadov, and you can't really know exactly when that is. But as we'll see the sugya later on, that's a later period of time than the other shitos, because both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah begin Bein HaShemashos from Shkia Sachama, from the moment of sunset. Rabbi Yehuda gives it a little bit more of a period of time. It's a longer period of time, Bein HaShemashos, until it gets dark in both the lower sky and even the upper sky, but Rabbi Nechemiah counts, let's assume, 9 minutes, which is half of a meal. And Rabbi Yossi is the latest period of time, and as he extends Yom even further, and that very last minute, or 2 minutes, you know, that's called Keheref Ayin, like the blink of an eye, that's Bein HaShemashos. Okay. Omar Mar. Now the Gemara analyzes the Braisa that concludes with the words Matilin Olav Lechomer Shnei Yomim. That the Braisa says we're going to impose the Chumrah, the stringencies of both days, as if it was yesterday and as if it was tomorrow. Lomai Hilchasa, what Halacha would be a perfect example of this, that it has the Chumrah both yesterday and today. In Shabbos we would say, well, it has the Chumrah of tomorrow, meaning it's already considered Laila, and therefore it's Shabbos, and all the Isurim would apply. But Le'inyan Tuma, as far as Tuma is concerned, specifically a Tuma Zav, then we can have a situation in which we take the Chumrah by considering it yesterday, and at the same time we'll take a Chumrah by considering it tomorrow, meaning consider it night. That's the beginning of the next day. So let's just say a few words about Zav. If a man sees one Re'iyah of an omission, and that's all he sees, he's called a Balkeri, and his Tumah is only a Tumah of one day, which means he goes to Mikvah on that very day, and with Harif Shemesh, with sunset, he's no longer Tomei. And then we have a person who saw two Re'ios. He saw a second omission, and either he saw it on the same day, so he had two emissions on the same day, or he saw it in two consecutive days. We'll call it Sunday and Monday. In both cases, he's a Zav, and he's Metame, he's an Avatuma, it's a Tumas Mishkav and Moshav, all the Chumras you imagine. If he sees a third Re'iyah, either on the same second day or on the third day after its consecutive day, then he has to bring what's called a Karman of a Zav. But let's focus our attention on two Re'iyos in order to establish him to be a Zav. And those two Re'iyos could have taken place on the same day or on two consecutive days. If he sees a Re'iyah, I'll test you now, on Sunday and Tuesday, Is he a Zav? He's not a Zav. Why? Because it was a full day that separated between his two Re'ils. Okay. Kirisnam, we're learning a Mishnah Masechta Zavim, which is obviously the Masechta that's dedicated to the laws of a Zav. Rosh Ne Yomim Bein Ashmashos. He saw two Re'ios on two consecutive days, but on Bein Ashmashos of each of these 2 days. So let's imagine that it's Sunday evening during Bein Ashmashos, so it's after Shkia, but it's not Farei Laila yet, and he has a Re'ia. That was on Sunday evening. Now on Monday evening, the very 24 hours later, he sees another Re'ia, a second Re'ia. And that's again during this Bein Ashmashos period. So we don't know if that Re'ia was on Monday or is on Tuesday, meaning it's already nightfall. So what happens in such a case? The Mishnah Paskins, Safek Lituma Ula Karbon. That there's a doubt here, both with regard to his status as a Tomei, and with his status as far as a Karbon is concerned. Now, he only had two Re'ios, but it could very well be that Bein Ashmashos is really the overlap of both day and night. So a Re'ia during Bein Ashmashos might be actually considered like two Re'ios. So in effect, he may have already three Re'ios, and he might have to bring a Karbon. But more likely, this Karbon, as Rashi points out, is called a Karbon Asham Tolui. Asham Tolui means when you violate an Iser B'Safek, and it's not clear whether you violated that Iser, then you have to bring a Karbon Asham Tolui. So even if I were to insist that that perhaps there's a possibility of seeing a Re'ia and Bein Ashmashos as two separate Re'ios, as yesterday's Re'ia and tomorrow's Re'ia, but here he would bring a Karbon B'Safek, and the only carbon that comes b'safek is called an asham tolui. Otherwise, we have another principle which is not for us now, and that's called safek chulin lazar. You know, you can't bring a carbon based on a safek. You always have to be vada. The only exception is an asham tolui. So that's the carbon here. You should just put it in the back burners. You know, make a note of it that the carbon that we're dealing with here is carbon asham tolui. That's not going to be the main thrust of that discussion. Then it says the following, Ra Yom Echad Bein Ashmashos. If he sees only one of these 2 days, let's say Sunday night, he saw Bein Ashmashos, that's called the Safek Lutuma, because then we might consider it as if he saw Re'ia on yesterday, on Sunday itself, or it was a Re'ia on Monday. It was two Re'ios on two consecutive days, because Bein Ashmashos, as we said before, has the status of both Yom and Laila, and two Re'ios, therefore, means that he's Tomei, a Din Zav. He has the status of a Zav, and we have to consider that as one of the possibilities. He's a Safek Lituma. Okay. Now, let's try to analyze the various possibilities over here. So again, we're talking about the case we had one Re'ia on Bein Ashmashos on Sunday evening and then the second one on Monday evening. Now, it's possible that the first Re'ia during Bein Ashmashos of Sunday was a Re'ia by Yom. Let's assume Bein Ashmashos is Yom. So it means he had the Re'ia on Sunday. Now, on the other hand, he had a Re'ia on Bein Ashmashos of Monday. And if we consider that Re'ia to be Re'ia of Yom, that means that Re'ia was the Re'ia of Monday. And if that Re'ia is Monday, now we had two consecutive days of Re'ia, and therefore he is Tomei. But on the other hand, it's very possible that the Bein Ashmashos of the second night was already Laila. And if that be the case, then his first Re'iyah was on Sunday, and his second Re'iyah was on Tuesday. And we said that if there's a day that separates one Re'iyah from the other, he's not Tomei. That's not a Zav. So we really don't know what is the status of this Zav. And therefore, we say he's a Suffolk Lutum. So the Gemara asks the following. Ha-Gufa Kasha. Let's go back to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Amrit Ezu Ben Hashmashos, what kicks off Ben Hashmashos, Mishnah Tishkei Achama. From the time the sun sets, calls Mancha Pnei HaMizrach Ma'adimim. Now, the implication here of calls Mancha Pnei HaMizrach Ma'adimim would be that as long as there's some redness in the sky, then it's Ben Hashmashos. The implication is ha-hichsif ha-tachtum v'lo-hichsif ha-elyon, that as soon as the redness in the sky is gone, which means already on the bottom, you know, lower part of the sky, which is closer to the horizon, it's already dark, lailahu, there's no redness at all in the sky anymore. So even if hichsif ha-tachton, and the lower part of the sky is dark, there's no longer redness in the sky, that should be lailah. V'hadar Tana, and yet in the Sefer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Hichsif HaTachton, if the bottom part of the sky is dark, V'lo Hichsif HaElyon, and the upper sky is not dark yet, then it's still Ben HaShmashos. Now why should it be Ben HaShmashos when you just told me that Ben HaShmashos is Kol Zman Shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimim? So in other words, the premise of the Gemara's Kasha is that once there's darkness in the bottom sky, then there's no longer redness on the horizon. Again, it might not be dark up, you know, on top. There's some sort of a twilight zone on top, but there's no longer redness. Omar Rabbam Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, you have to change a little bit the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Kroch utni. We have to combine two parts of the sentence and read it like this. Ezu ben hashmashos, mishe tishka achama, calls man shepnei mizrach ma'adimim vehichsif ha-tachton velo hichsif ha-elyon. So you're going to combine these two sentences and you're going to say, well, there's still reddening in the sky, on the eastern side of the sky, and the bottom of the sky, although it has darkened, but the upper part of the sky is not yet darkened. Nami ben ha-shmashos, that's still considered ben ha-shmashos. So in other words, the ben ha-shmashos period begins when there's redness in the sky, but it continues even beyond the point when there's redness in the sky. There's no longer redness in the sky, but the upper sky is not dark yet, and it's Ben HaShmashos. So the kickoff, the beginning of Ben HaShmashos, is when there's redness on the eastern horizon. But that period of time called Ben HaShmashos, according to our view, that continues as long as the upper sky is still not yet fully dark. But Hichsif HaElyon, when the upper part of the sky became absolutely dark, the Ishul Atachlit says dark as the lower horizon, Lila, that's when it becomes Lila. Now we have a different Shita. That was Rabbah. Now we're up to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, had a different tradition in the name of Shmuel as to how to interpret Rav Yehuda. Hachi Ketani. This is how we have to read Rav Yehuda. Mishetishka Hachama. Once the sun has set, calls Mancha Pnei Mizrach Ma'adimim, Yom. As long as there's redness in the sky, so there's reflected light from the sun, the sun is dipped below the horizon, but the light is reflected, and you can see redness in the sky. And if you want to check this out, look to the east, and you'll see whether the sky is still red in the east. Then you know you're in Vadayom. So it means that according to this new formulation of Yosef of Rabbi Yehuda, Shkia Sachama, sunset itself, does not engender Ben HaShmashos. Ben HaShmashos begins at a stage that's later than sunset, and even after sunset, according to this version, it's still Vadayom. Why? Because there's redness in the sky. Now, Hichsif HaTachton, there's no longer redness in the sky. The bottom part of the sky, which is near the horizon, is dark. Lo hichsif ha'elyon, but the upper sky is still not dark. That's called Ben HaShmashos. That's the beginning of Ben HaShmashos. Hichsif ha'elyon, v'ishvol tachton, when the upper sky becomes dark, like the lower sky, that's Lila. So now we're shortening the period of Bein HaShmoshos. So again, let's just summarize. Rabbi and Rav Yosef have two different versions of Rabbi Yehuda. What was Rabbi Yehuda's shita about Bein HaShmoshos? Was it Shkia? Shkia itself, sunset, that engenders Bein HaShmoshos. That's the shita of Rabba. And Rav Yosef says no. Even after Shkia, since there's redness in the sky and reflected light on the horizon, it's not Bein HaShmoshos Vadayom. It only begins to be Bein HaShmoshos when the redness is gone, it's dark on the lower horizon, it's not yet dark in the upper horizon. That's the period of Bein HaShmoshos until it becomes dark on the upper horizon. The Azdol Litamayu, and these two views or versions of Rabbi and Rav Yosef respectively are consistent with another discussion that they had about how many minutes this period of Bein HaShmoshos, how long is it in terms of time? The Idmar, Shir Bein HaShmoshos Bekama, how long is Bein HaShmoshos? Omer Rabba, Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Shlosha Chelke Meal, 3/4 of a meal. Okay, 3/4 of a meal. Now, I'm just going to fast forward for just one moment. That's according to Rabba. Rav Yosef says it's 2/3 of a meal. Now, let's compare 3/4 to 2/3. Let's use 12ths. So 3/4, just 1 second, 3/4, help me out here, is, let's say if you take 4 times 3, is 9/12. Is that correct? 9/12. 9/12 is the same as 3/4. And 2/3 is 8/12. Correct? Because you multiply the 4, you multiply the 3 by 4, you multiply the 2 by 4 is 8/12. So the difference between Rabba and Rav Yosef is going to be 1/12. And again, we're talking about 1/12 of a meal. So we said that a meal was 18 minutes. So 1/12 of a meal, let's say, is 1.5 minutes. So it's a very fine difference between Rabba's Bein HaShmoshos and Rav Yosef's Bein HaShmoshos. Rabba's Bein HaShmoshos is longer than Rav Yosef's Bein HaShmoshos by 1/12 of a meal, 1/12. So first we'll go through Rabba. Rabba said Shlosha Chelke Meal, so 3 parts. Yeah, but 3 parts over what? Right? He didn't give us the other number, the fraction. Ilema Tlosa Palge Mila. If he's talking about halves, so he's multiplying 3 times a half, which is 3 halves. Name a meal umechsa, that's a meal and a half. Ela Tulsa Talsi, if he's talking about 3/3 mila, that's a full meal. So why didn't he just tell us name a meal? Ela Tulsa Rive Meal, he meant 3/4 of a meal. Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Shnei Chelke Meal. So instead of 3 parts of a meal, he means 2 parts of a meal. Once again, put the 2 over what number to get what fraction? My Shnei Chelke Meal. Elam, if you're going to tell me Tre Palgi Mila, he means 2 halves. Well, 2 halves is a whole. Last time we calculated Lema Meal, you should have told me it's a meal. Ela Tre Rive Meal, then it means 2/4. Well, if it's 2/4, that's the equivalent of half Lema Chatzi Meal. Ela, but rather Gemara says, and here we turn to Daf Lamed Heyam and Aleph, Tre Tilse Meal, it means 2/3 of a meal. My Benayu, so what's an afkamina between Rabba and Rav Yosef? Rabba has 3/4 of a meal, and Rav Yosef has 2/3 of a meal. Is Ika Benayu Palga de Danka? Okay, Danka is a sixth. Palga de Danka, half of a sixth, is 1/12, and the difference between 3/4 and 2/3 is 1/12. So that's the difference. He calculates it in terms of minutes, and the difference is a difference of about 1.5 to 2 minutes. That's the whole nafkamina between Rabba and Rav Yosef. Okay. Now, we're going to stop here. because I see it's already getting late. So we're up to Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph on the top, the second line, V'chilufa Bechalsa. Now we're going to have a reverse machlokes in the case of a basket, Chalsa, and this has to do with what shape or what volume. You know, you have very large baskets, and if it holds a very large volume, then it's almost impossible to move it. And if it's impossible to move it, then it's no longer a kli, because a kli by definition has to be metaltel, something that you can move from place to place. And therefore it's not makabel tuma. But on the other hand, although that's a kula, that it's not makabel tuma, there's a chumra here that it's aser betiltul. In other words, there's an iser mukta that applies to anything that's not a kli. So tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, we'll try to discuss whether it's a kli or not. And what size of a volume makes it ice kli. It's no longer a kli. Now, so Mirtz Hashem, we'll try to see if we can finish Perek Bamei Madlikin tomorrow. Bezer Hashem.